Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. I pray, Father, that you would set us on course, Lord, to do your will, Lord, and to be and do all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we'll just start with a story tonight. A little boy had gotten saved, and he was real excited. He sat down by a man on a bench who looked upset. And the little boy said to the man, he said, "Sir, do you need to get saved?" And the man was kind of startled, and he abruptly says to the little boy, he says, "I'll have you know that I've been a deacon in this church for 30 years, and I've been the chairman of deacons for 15 years. The little boy said, "Well, sir, it doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus can save you." Right? Aren't you glad we serve a God of grace? That no matter what we've done, he can save us. Amen. No matter who you are, I can save you. He can change your life. Now, tonight, I really want to follow up the message from Sunday. I don't always do that, but sometimes I just feel like it's a God thing that we need to do that, because I don't know about you, but I don't always get it the first time. And sometimes, even though I get it, it just helps to reinforce and strengthen those things. And so tonight's message is a little bit of a follow-up about growing in the Lord and how that requires change. None of us has arrived. I hope that you're still growing. I hope that you're not at a place in your walk with the Lord where you just say, "Well, this is as good as it gets. I'm done." No, we ought to always be pressing on to know him better, and that requires change. We don't grow if we don't change. You know, change doesn't come easily, seldom anyway. Does it ever come easily? It just always seems easier to stick with what we know. For the believer, change really should be a way of life. We ought to always be changing, always be growing until he comes. And then we'll be changed into his likeness. But it ought to be that we are always growing. He's not done with us until we're like Jesus. I've met some who claimed to like change. But the truth is even little ones don't like it when you change their routine. It makes them uncomfortable. One man said, "The only people who like change are wet babies. And even they aren't too excited about it." Well, that's the truth. As frustrating as life may be at times, and as lifeless as our routine can be, it's amazing how often we just find ourselves in a rut, just doing the same thing over and over and over. But I can assure you that if you are willing, God will change you. That he will keep growing you. That a year from now, you'll be able to look back and you'll say, "Wow, I really changed." Now, if you are a nominal Christian, I'm talking about in name only, I'm telling you, God wants to change your life. Let me just say it another way. If you're not a Christian at all, God wants to change your life. But here's an issue that needs to be addressed. You know, a lot of times when someone is a new Christian, when someone gets born again, in that first few months or year or 2 years, maybe even 5 years, there's a lot of change that happens in their things that start happening in their life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, I remember a lot of lifestyle choices and things, habits and things that got put aside in my life. I started doing a whole lot of things I never did before. But sometimes as we serve the Lord, if we don't watch ourselves, and if the Lord doesn't just get a hold of us, we can fall into a rut. where we've come to a place spiritually where we think we're doing pretty good, and we just kind of level off and get satisfied and complacent. I want to tell you, God wants to do a fresh work in you. He wants to change you so much so that the world around you will see something different about you. What an awesome thing it would be, not only for you to be able to look back on your life a year from now and say, man, I've changed. But what would really be awesome is if your family says, wow, you've changed. I'm talking about in a good way, right? They said, wow, you've changed.
Well, I've been serving the Lord for 20 years. I've been serving the Lord for 40 years. Am I high enough yet?
But what an awesome thing it would be after serving the Lord for 40 years if your family said, wow, you've really changed this year. If they could just see Jesus in you, they could just see real spiritual growth happen in you like never before. Well, I want to tell you, it doesn't come easy, but it's available to us. And tonight, I want to talk about how we can do that. One man bought a radio. He brought it home, put it up on the refrigerator, and he plugged it in, and he tuned it in to WSM in Nashville, home of the Grand Ole Opry. And then he pulled all the knobs off of it, because that was all he ever wanted to hear again. And you know what? That's where some Christians are. You need to be willing to hear where God might want to take you, where God might want to change you. You done pulled the knobs off. Well, it's time to let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. No, you got to tune in to the Lord and let him speak to you. Be willing to break free from some old traditions or lifeless routines. Amen. Sometimes routine can be a good thing. There's good habits. But I'm telling you that sometimes God wants to take us to a higher level. And to do that, something has to change. He can change you. He's in the life-changing business. But you know, sometimes even though we know we need change, it's hard and it just seems like we get stuck in the mud. So tonight, we're going to talk about how to affect change, how to start. That's our acronym to help us remember tonight, START, all right? Here's the first one. You got to seize the day. As long as you say someday, you're not changing. One of these days, when I get around to it, you know, when situations, circumstances change, when it's different. Listen, as long as it's out there, it's not happening. Listen, if you want change, you gotta seize the day. Don't put it off. Don't say someday. One of the biggest struggles to overcome. You know, we've all had setbacks. We've all had failures. We've all made mistakes. But his mercies are new every morning. And so whatever has gone on in the past, you need to realize that today is a new day. I mean, if God gives you a fresh start today, if you could just start with a clean slate with God, what a great opportunity. Seize the day. I'm telling you, the problem is not on God's end. No, the problem is on our end. And we need to realize that there is a great opportunity for us to step into new things, for us to grow, to change. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, you can just relegate that to just to your born-again experience, just to the day that you got saved, but you need to realize what it's really saying here is very powerful. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That means that you don't have to be the old you. Now, I realize that the day you got born again, listen, on the inside, you're a new creation. But you need to realize that even on the outside, in the way we live and the way we conduct ourselves in this world, old things passed away. All things have become new. You don't have to be that same old person anymore. You need to seize the day. Realize the opportunity that's before you to change. Listen to what Paul says about himself in Philippians 3, 12 through 14. He says, "Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me." Are you pressing on? And here this man has been in ministry for decades, and he says, "I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me." He wasn't done growing. He wasn't done changing. He's still pressing on to take hold of why Jesus took hold of him. "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." I hadn't arrived yet. "But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." See, that's how you seize the day. He says, "I'm not perfect. I hadn't arrived." He says, "I'm leaving the past behind, and I'm reaching forward to the things which are before." That's how you seize the day. As long as you're looking behind, as long as you're thinking about all your past and all that has been, it will limit you. You've got to seize the day by reaching forward to the things which are before and what God has for you in your future. You can't change your past. But the choices you make, for the most part, will determine your future. Seize the day. Go after it. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, it says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing." See, it's time to seize the day for new things, for more growth, for better, for increase, for excellence, for success, for spiritual maturity. Seize the day. Second, we have to take inventory. We need to prayerfully consider our life. I want you to hear what I'm saying. I'm not just saying that to be religious. Listen. Don't take inventory by yourself. You do it with the Lord. You need to prayerfully consider your life, where you are and where you need to be. Where you want to be, or better yet, where God wants you to be. You got to pray. Because I can tell you this, that all change is not good. All change is not from God. And you can go from the frying pan to the fire. Anybody ever done it? Been there, done that. Don't want to do it no more. So you prayerfully take inventory in your life of what needs to change. What needs to be left behind? What new pursuit do you need in your life? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." You see, as you take inventory, you yield that to the Lord and you just ask him to show you what needs to change in your life. There may be some real obvious things that you know God wants to change in your life, but we also need to pray and ask God to help us to know exactly what we're to do. Maybe a chapter of your life that it's just time to close. Time for you to do something totally different. Sometimes that's hard to do. I remember many, many years ago when I was the youth pastor at Grace, we got into a program called Bible Quiz, and it became a big deal, a big part of our youth ministry. We had five Bible quiz teams, and most of the churches that had any just had one Bible quiz, and they tried to get me to be the district coordinator and all this stuff. But I thought Bible quiz was a great program for getting God's kids into God's Word, and I just thought it was awesome. And later on, when I was 40-something in my last youth pastorate, we did Bible quiz for a year, and I just felt like the Lord told me to leave that alone, just let that go, and to take up this new thing that we were doing called a ministry team, and had a lot to do with getting the kids involved in ministry. And I was like, now wait a minute, Bible quiz, what could be better than getting kids into God's Word? And it was hard for me to let that go. But I'm telling you, sometimes God wants to close a chapter and open a new one. And you know, when we do that, it's amazing how God will grow us and how we'll see new fruit in our lives and God will do new things in our life. But I need to change. Is there something I need to leave behind? You need that, you know, how am I going to grow in my relationship with God? I think when you take inventory, you got to ask yourself some questions. Am I going to pray more? Am I going to read my Bible more? Am I going to get more involved in church? Am I going to spend more quality time with my family? Do I need to change my devotional life? Do I need to change my diet and exercise? Do I need to change some relationships? Maybe some I need to close out and some I need to start. Do I need greater involvement in the body of Christ or involvement in some new area of ministry? But you got to prayerfully take inventory and determine what needs to change, what your goals, what your pursuits need to be, what your priorities and commitments need to be. Seize the day. Take inventory. Accept responsibility. You know what? We've all had those times when it felt like the deck was stacked against us. We've all had those times when it just seemed like things were beyond our control, and it's easy for us to fall into making excuses. But you know what? When we make an excuse for why we don't change or why we haven't done this or why we are the way we are, we condemn ourselves to stay that way. I mean, if it's not our fault, then there's nothing that we can do about it. If we blame our circumstances, our family, our job, or anything else, we've pretty much decided that we can't change. It's up to somebody else. And I want to tell you, I want to remind you, we got anybody here that believes with God all things are possible? Anybody in here that believes that God can do that you and God are a majority? Anybody believe that? I do. Nobody can stop God in your life. Nobody can stop the plan and purpose of God in your life. Nobody can stop God from working in you except you. You got to accept responsibility. If you're going to change, if you're really going to see change happen in your life, you got to take the responsibility for that change. Proverbs 28:13 in the Living Bible, it says it this way: a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful, but he who confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. See, we've all made those mistakes, and we all have faults and flaws. As long as we blame instead of accept responsibility, we're not changing. I want to change. Instead of blaming, if we accept responsibility, I tell you, it opens the door for God to do a miracle in us. If we trust Him to change us. Don't blame your parents. Don't blame your kids. Don't blame your spouse. Don't blame your boss. Don't blame society. Accept responsibility for your own life, where you are, and realize that it's up to you to change. Seize the day. Take inventory. Accept responsibility. Renew your mind. S-T-A-R. Renew your mind. You got to renew your mind. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You're not going to really change if you don't change the way you think. See, a lot of people, they decide, oh, I'm going to change. I'm going to change. And they don't even hardly get out of the gate. Even though they were sincere and they wanted to change, they didn't change the way they think. They kept thinking the same old way. And they ended right back in the same old patterns. You see, the old thought patterns will always take you back to the old actions and the old ways. If you want a fresh start, if you really want to change in some way, you got to change the way you think. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What a powerful thing it is when we renew our minds with the Word of God. He says, be transformed. That's radically changed. And how does that happen? It happens when you renew your mind. Now, you know, God can change you in a moment, in an instant. God can do a work in your life. And so often, He does that. But as I said a minute ago, a lot of the time, we will find our way back to the old ways. Remember, old things are passed away, all things have become new. But we'll find our way back to the old ways if we don't renew our mind. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to renew your mind. See, if you're depressed, if you're discouraged, if you're distressed, it's probably because you've been thinking depressing thoughts, discouraging thoughts, distressing thoughts. By the way, if you're going to renew your mind, sometimes you got to change the input. What you're letting in through the eye gate and the ear gate. Because if you're listening to every depressing, distressing, discouraging story that comes along and you're not putting in much of the good news, I'm telling you, you're not going to get your thinking right. You got to change it with the Word of God. Renew your mind. See, if you think that there's no way that you can lose weight. I mean, come on, let's back up to the last one. It's not my fault. It's genetics. I mean, have you seen my family? They're pretty much 5'7", 5'8", 200 pounds, 250 pounds. It's not my fault. If you think you can't, you probably can't. In fact, I just would highly recommend this. Renew your mind, change your mind with the Word of God. It's more powerful than surgery. I'm not being critical of surgery. I'm just saying it's more powerful than surgery, all right? That's all I'm saying. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Oh, now you don't know, you don't understand my metabolism and you don't understand my gene. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I've got to tell you something. God can heal metabolisms. But as long as we take that excuse instead of taking responsibility. Oh man, I started meddling now, didn't I? You see, you got to renew your mind. If you think that you can't get a good job because, you know, this is sorry economy and, you know, I know so-and-so and I know this one and that one. Did you hear the new statistics out of college graduates can't get a job and blah, 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 blah. Have you ever heard of Jehovah Jireh? I'm telling you, God can do anything. He's the one who promotes. You need to fill your mind with the Word of God instead of all that stupid statistics. Listen, I know there's statistics. You don't have to be one. You got to renew your mind. If you think you can't get a good job, you're probably right. Let me digress to the last one more time. Take responsibility. If they wouldn't push my buttons, I wouldn't blow up. You're not ever going to change. As long as you think that way. You see, you got to take responsibility. You got to change the way you think. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I'm long-suffering. I'm long-suffering. Wow. Boy, that's a reach, Lord. Not my strong point. By faith, I am long-suffering. The Holy Spirit's inside of me, and He's greater than whatever I'm facing, and He gives me long-suffering. See, you got to renew your mind with the Word of God if you're really going to change. And the last one is, well, let me run through them. Seize the day. Take inventory. Accept responsibility. Renew your mind. And take action. That's how you start. You got to take action. You can't just think about it. You can't just pray about it. You got to do those things. But you got to take action. Nothing is really going to change until you take that step of faith. Take the first step, whatever it is. See, a lot of times people have great ideas and dreams and visions, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And you know why most of them don't ever fulfill them? Because they don't ever take the first step. I'm going to be a great preacher and be on TV someday. Well, will you preach at the nursing home? No, I'm waiting for TBN to call me. It ain't ever going to happen. You got to take the first step. And I want to tell you, most of the time, God gives us baby steps to start with. You know, David killed Goliath. I wouldn't call it a baby step, but he killed the lion and the bear first. And I'm just telling you, you got to take some action. You got to step out there, whatever it is that God wants you to do. Faith without works is dead. So we can say we believe, but until we're willing to step out, see, decide what course of action you need to take to have change in your life, to see that change happen. When we take that step, you see, it's an expression of faith, and God honors that. That pleases Him. It takes faith. If you want to change your personality, it takes real faith. It takes faith to really change your life and your habits. But I'm telling you, nothing much will really change until you take some kind of action. Set the alarm clock earlier tomorrow. Tonight, right? Take a healthy lunch with you. That'll do more than just help your waistline. That'll help your pocketbook. But anyway, call a college. volunteer for a ministry. I don't know what your step needs to be, what your action needs to be. You may have a list of them, but I'm just telling you, you need to take action. You may need to go to somebody and ask for forgiveness. You might need to buy a new Bible. You might need to talk to somebody about a problem, a struggle that you have. You might need to join a growth group. You might need to do something you couldn't do before. You might need to do something you think you can't do. Seize the day. Take inventory. Accept responsibility. Renew your mind. And take action. That's how you start. See, and talk about change. We can think about it. We can even pray about it. But until we start, it ain't happening. So if you want to see change in your life, this is how you start. One more time. I don't want you to forget. Seize the day. Take inventory. Accept responsibility. Renew your mind. And take action. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray. Lord, we don't want to start anything without you. And so, Father, we just look to you as our source, Lord, of wisdom and understanding. Lord, we look to you as our source of righteousness. You are the one who sanctifies us, who changes us, who works in us. We look to you for strength and power. Lord, we know that without you, we can do nothing. And Father, I just pray that as the days go by, Lord, that we'll just keep changing, growing in your likeness, that when you come for us, it seemed like no big change then. What an awesome thing that would be, Lord. Help us, Lord, to grow, to be more like you. Lord, do a fresh work in us. We don't want to be stagnant. We don't want to be the same. We don't want our faith to be a yesterday faith. Let it be fresh and real in us and life-changing in us every day. And Lord, I just give you the praise and the glory for it. Lord, may we always give you the praise. You alone, Lord, deserve it all. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.